Are you thinking about starting a business? Does your business need a loan or investors? Are you ready to grow and succeed? Then you need to call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. at 470-238-9097 for more information or to schedule your free business consultation.
Hello and welcome to today's show, Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm with three divisions: business consulting, marketing consulting, and strategic business technology consulting. Today, we're honored to have the CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Jennifer Ruse, along with the executive director of the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, Randy Redner. We'll start with Jennifer. Also, by the way, Denise Townsend, the regional director of DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties of the United Way, and Rachel Warnsley, the Gwinnett County engagement director of the United Way, are also in the studio. Okay, back to Jennifer now. Jennifer has a long career working for both corporations and as an entrepreneur. She began her career after college in the 1990s in market intelligence, business operations, and management for companies such as Mid-America Research, Fact and Focus, Lucent Technologies, Kyocera Wireless, ARS Current Analysis and WebSense Software Solutions before starting her own first company in 2004. She has since been a business consultant and now the founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Randy was born in Elmira, New York.
Elmira, New York. Up in the cold country there. Yeah. Like, you know.
But then you moved to Pittsburgh, steel country.
Yeah. Got a little colder.
And Cleveland. Even worse.
Go Indians.
Then your family moved and relocated to Atlanta in 1971. Randy has an undergraduate degree in marketing from Valdosta State University and an MBA from Mercer University. After a 20-year corporate career, including positions with Georgia Power and the Mead Corporation, Randy felt a call to make a shift in his career to nonprofits. In 2000, he became the executive director of Habitat for Humanity North Fulton, leading that organization to national recognition. In 2005, Randy had the opportunity to move to the American Cancer Society, and while at ACS, Randy was responsible for the largest Relay for Life event in the world, growing the Gwinnett Relay to over $2.5 million. These successes led Randy to become promoted to a vice president for Georgia, overseeing all income, mission, and advocacy outreach for ACS from 2010 to 2013. Then in 2013, Randy had the chance to move to the United Methodist Children's Home to help rebuild their fundraising, marketing, and communications and volunteer programs. However, in early 2015, Randy heard about the retirement of his good friend, Judy Waters, from the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. He applied and was selected to become just the fifth director for that organization in May of 2015. This position allows Randy to work in his home community, connecting donors to local nonprofits in an effort to strengthen and reach their missions. Today's Strategic Insights Radio broadcast is going to be about what the Community Foundation is all about. We'll introduce you to the United Way and how each of these entities have helped the community as a whole, and how you as a listener can get involved with these wonderful organizations.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Randy, Denise, and Rachel for being on the show today. Before we get started, I wanted to give a chance for Denise and Rachel to tell us a little bit about where you come from and how you came about in United Way.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. I'm going to follow a little bit of what Randy said. My early career was with Bell South, worked with marketing research, strategic planning, and came here to Atlanta to start up a new product development group.
Which Bell South were you with?
South Central Bell.
Okay.
Before it merged with Southern, became Bell South.
I was actually an old Bell Labber.
Okay.
So I'm with me.
Fantastic. And so after working in those areas at Bell South, I had the opportunity to leave and said, it's time to do something a little bit different. And so I went the entrepreneur route. Started a business, management consulting, and the great thing was it was partnering with my brother, who was coming from a nonprofit health and human services background, and we started a firm where we provided consulting services for nonprofits, foundations, government agencies. And it was great for me because I love the opportunity to bring the business rigor, if you will, into that nonprofit space and where the passion is and connect them together. And so from all those years of that consulting work in all kinds of health and human services, it all comes together now working at United Way.
Nice. Rachel?
Well, thank you, first of all, to Jennifer and Mike for having us here. So I am a gator in this bulldog territory.
Oh, man.
No. Just
go ahead and cut the mic off, you know.
So I know I'm here in bulldog territory, but I just recently just moved here from Tampa, Florida. So I've been in the nonprofit world for about 12 years, really starting my work doing programming as well as fundraising. From grant writing, proposal writing, event sponsorships, plan giving, the whole gamut of fundraising. So that's my experience. And I'm so fortunate to be a part of the United Way here in United Way of Greater Atlanta.
Well, we'll let you go with the Gators as long as you're a Falcons fan today.
I am.
Rise up. We're all rising up. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to get started by talking a little about Community Foundation. And I know the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia was founded in 1985 by a group of community-minded citizens to receive and disperse charitable funds for an improved quality of life across Northeast Georgia. Randy, can you expand on what the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia really is?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, Jennifer, Mike, again, you know, just like Rachel, thank you for having us today, you know, and talking to all your listeners around the world about philanthropy and giving. But the Community Foundation, they're really unique animal. You know, you folks that are in the consulting world are really going to love this because there's about 95,000 foundations out there doing work. Less than 1% are community foundations. There's only 800 in the entire country. Founded, first one started at Cleveland, Ohio. Whoop, whoop, go Indians, right? You know, a little over 100 years ago. And they're a unique approach to philanthropy where a community of funders come together to go to work on specific issues in the community. And that is so exciting to do.
So how does that exactly work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that out. No, I'm teasing, Jennifer. I'm teasing. You know, and we do that in multiple ways. But, you know, we love to say a tagline, which is really great. You know, we connect people who care with causes that matter. And that can roll up and be just an individual fund holder. Because everybody already gives, right? Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make it simpler and far more impactful in their giving. So you may not know this, and I'm going to watch out for the United Way folks with us today, but United Way just got surpassed as the number one charity in America by who? Fidelity. Fidelity Investments is now the largest charitable organization in our country. And Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard are in the top 10. And they do it all by a little fund called donor advised funds, where people that are already giving can give into that, their donor advised funds. The moment they put their money in there, they get their tax deduction, so they're good to go. And then they can advise later where that money goes. And then later could be this week, next year, 10 years from now. And that instrument is a powerful philanthropic tool. But what has happened is in the hands of certain organizations, it has just gone into a pile of money and not filtered down to the local communities and nonprofits that are doing their work. So where do we add value? The Community Foundation, same tool, but the thing is, Jennifer, we're going to get to know what you care about, right? What is on your heart and the work that you want to do? And then we're going to connect you with donors of like kind to do some amazing stuff.
Well, I saw it firsthand. I was actually at your Give to Gala.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched you actually give out a number of grants to all different types of not-for-profits, from educational programs to
sex trafficking,
to children,
our co-ops,
to arts and entertainment, disability. So it was quite amazing to watch all of that.
It was.
It was a great event. So when did you become part of the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia, and what drove you to make that decision?
Yeah, the Community Foundation, because of my work with the American Cancer Society, I was aware of the Community Foundation. We had actually done some really kind of groundbreaking work with them about a decade ago here in our home community to partner together to create a patient resource navigator for the American Cancer Society. So a staff person that was right inside of the hospital here, that the moment somebody was diagnosed with cancer, our navigator would come alongside that family and help them navigate through the process. And part of that funding or access to funding came through my relationship with Judy Waters. So I got to see a decade ago how that instrument can work called a community foundation. So when Judy announced a couple years ago that she was ready to retire, I picked up the phone and called her because I said, you know, I'm interested in coming back to my home community and not having to take the commute to downtown Atlanta anymore because I just can't take it, you know? You know, we got to rise up in a lot of ways, and one of them is around the traffic, Jennifer. You know?
Well, it's funny because actually the first person I met in Gwinnett County was Judy.
Oh, wow.
So it was really funny when I first moved down here. She was the first one. She greeted me up at the 1818 Club, and it was very sweet. She had me sit at her table, and she was just talking to me. I didn't know who she was until I walked into her room.
Right.
So it was really kind of funny.
Yeah. But what brought me there, you know, through, you know, my career, nonprofit career, was a community foundation is an incredible tool at the right time, you know, in the growth of our community to be leveraged for the good. So, you know, instead of just having to work with not one nonprofit and get up in the morning when I was at the United Methodist Children's Home and worry about how are the kids doing today, or when I was at a Habitat for Humanity going, okay, how are we going to build this house? Here I get to work with that whole, you know, spectrum of nonprofits and work at issues at, you know, on large, right? From education to, you know, homelessness and that. So that is what brought me here. It brings everything in my entire career full circle to leverage that.
It's fantastic. Well, we're going to talk. So Denise, our listeners are familiar with the name United Way, but some folks might not be aware of the specific work that United Way does in communities worldwide. Can you tell us what the organization really does?
Yes, I'd be glad to, Jennifer. And let me take off first on that word worldwide. United Way is worldwide. And that's part of why we're so excited to, with the invitation to be here with you all today, is because, as we were talking about earlier, there are no borders these days in terms of media and communications. United Way started about 1905, not quite 100 years ago, but quite a long time ago. And the real principle is, if you think in terms of connecting things together, bringing together people, resources, and a framework or a process, whatever it might be, to say, let's focus on where there are needs in our communities. And a real priority for us at United Way is driving sustainable change. So on the one hand, it's really important to be able to say, well, what happened and did it last for this session or this program or this phase? Our lens is broad. It's long-term.
Can you give me an example of what you mean by sustainable processes? Because some of the listeners are probably wondering what that actually means.
Yes, by sustainable, what we mean is we, for example, I was going to say that we raise funds, but then we also invest funds in agencies and initiatives. And a lot of times when we invest in agencies, for example, it may be for a particular program this particular semester at school or during the summer or whatever it might be. But especially with some of our broader initiatives, we're working with different partners to say, can we implement something that where people are going to work together over a long period of time because they have a shared vision, they're working on the same thing, they're coming together over time. And so there's a continuous process, a continuous effort that's underway. And so sustainable is what we're thinking of there.
Okay. So who are some of the United Way's partners and how do you all help them do their work?
That's a good question, because when we talk about coming together, it is so much about partnerships. When you talk about donors, Randy is a big partner of ours, for example, foundations and funders, as well as others, individuals and businesses. Also, other partners are agencies across the landscape of Greater Atlanta. We have hundreds of different agency partners. And then also volunteers. I think we have 75,000 plus volunteers across Greater Atlanta. So all of these partner in different ways, whether it's on the side of raising funds, whether it's on the side of helping us to figure out who and how we're going to invest funds, and also then just to implement the work.
And Rachel, how would you explain the differentiation between the United Way and other not-for-profits?
Okay, so I think former President Obama, he brought to light to the forefront the idea of community organizing. So long before President Obama, you know, the United Way is a community organizer. You know, we're a funder. We're also fundraisers. If we don't bring enough funding in to the United Way, that's less to go out and go back to our communities to make that impact. So that's one of the key things. What's unique, you know, there's 911, there's 411. Well, the United Way has a national helpline. It's 211. From anywhere in the world, 365, 24/7, you have 211. You can give help through 211. And you can get help from 211. We get a lot of calls. We have a whole team downtown in Greater Atlanta that answers those calls. When you call them up, it's, you know, you give them your zip code and they will direct you to resources.
So what kind of resources does that direct you to?
We get a lot of calls for help with paying your rent, with your telephone bill. On the giving side, you can call if you want to find out, you know, where's, you know, you did your spring cleaning, for example, you have some stuff you want to donate, you know, give 211 a call. We will let you know what agency in your community. We have boots on the ground in each of the different communities. What's unique specifically about United Way of Greater Atlanta, we serve 13 counties, but we have a lot of folks like myself. I focus on Gwinnett County as the engagement director. So I am there in Gwinnett County working with individuals, with corporations like Primerica, WestRock, QT, Publix, a lot of those great partners. I mean, the school district, some of the folks are here today. We work really closely with these different groups to make a really great impact in our community.
Fantastic. And hey, Randy,
can I jump in with a,
sure,
a question?
Please.
And I want to make a point and then let the United Way folks run with it, because it's not only about, you know, raise the money and then work with the nonprofits down on the ground doing it. There's a level up above that where United Way, and this is one of our great part of our partnership, is taking a look at, you know, what are the key issues in the community? And let's make sure that we're,
right,
you know, locked on target, you know, because there's a 10,000 great things to do. But let's, you know, let's, mm-hmm, separate the good from the great, yeah, and really focus in on them. So some of the work that we did this past year was around, and they, United Way led us, the community, through it, through a Thrive project from there. But that ultimately tied to child well-being, because their point is if children are well in a community, the community will be well, right? So I'd love to have them talk about that a little bit and then let you zero in your consulting kind of way and ask a couple of great questions, because this is amazing work and will set the pace for the rest of the work we're doing.
If I can chime in, one thing that we did recently that I think that made a really great impact just in Georgia abroad, and if you guys remember when we were voting back in November, we had the Safe Harbor Yes initiative. So we typically, the United Way, we are not an organization that typically gets involved in the whole politics. But Safe Harbor Yes was an issue that we really wanted to, you know, say we support, and we got.
For the purpose of our listeners, because there are a lot of listeners who are not in Gwinnett County or Georgia for that matter, you want to expand on exactly what that is?
Well, Safe Harbor Yes is specifically for our community here. That involves providing safe home, safe place for sex trafficking for young people. So we are the treasurer of the funds that we receive for that initiative. So that was really big that the United Way did. And Denise can talk about more about child well-being. See, that's that component of the child there, one piece of that.
I'm so glad that Randy brought up about child well-being. You know, many of our listeners might be familiar with United Way focusing on health and income and education and homelessness. And what we've tried to do in the last year or two is to say, but how does that all really come together? And part of how it really comes together is children. Children, if they are thriving, they're at the center of the communities, they've got families around them, and then they're all the different parts of communities that have to nurture both what's happening with the children as well as with families. And so we're using child well-being and a focus on measuring how the children are doing to be the kind of the center of the target that takes us out to those outer rings and lets us also then say, well, are they doing well in school? Do they have health care? But what about the parents? Or do they have employment? Do they have housing? Do they have what they need to be able to provide what the children need? And then out in the communities, are those supports there to really nurture these children and families so that overall the whole community benefits?
So what programs do you have in place to do that exactly?
Okay, some of those, I'll just bring in a couple of different ones. If we talk about on the healthcare side, a big issue, of course, for a lot of families is about health access. Well, one of the projects we have in Gwinnett, and it also is implemented in other areas in Great Atlanta, is Project Health Access, where one of the things we do is to help intervene. We partner with Gwinnett Medical System here, where we have caseworkers who are able to work with those who typically would come to the emergency room, help them to find resources outside of the emergency room, find and have a primary care physician so that it can help reduce overall costs, but also give opportunities for them to improve what they're doing. One other one I just want to mention, looking at the people here from the school system. Another example is...
Before she gets into this, okay. So that for our listeners who don't know that there are people in here from the school system, that we actually have some guests that are sitting in the room listening in on the show. So
thank you for clarifying that. Spark Gwinnett. Many of us are familiar with the Shark Tank TV series, and we started downtown a couple of years ago, something similar like to that for nonprofits. And when we learned about it out here in Gwinnett, we said we'd like to do that too. And so we reached out to partners, including Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, and said, let's see what kind of innovative things maybe people might want to do here in Gwinnett. So we had a competition, raised some funds, and our two top winners, one was Care Closet, a sophomore student at a high school who found a fellow student hungry, needing some more food, and said, what can I do about it? And she came up with the idea with her brother to have a mobile food pantry in the school. With the funding that they received from the Spark Initiative, they have already implemented mobile food pantries in 5 high schools. They're partnering with others to bring in other elements like toiletries and things for children who are homeless but attend the schools. So those are some of the things that are really kind of interesting and unique that are going on.
Randy, going back to you a little bit, I know that children well-being
is... Sure, going to talk about the Falcons again?
Yeah. Next.
Next. next show.
Exactly, next show. We're talking a little bit about children well-being as one way that you give back to the community. How else do you actually help the community become better?
Yeah, so, you know, at that highest level that we're just kind of talking about, and I'm sure when you walk into any business you consult with, you know, the first thing you want to do is, what's the as is, right? Mm-hmm. How do we stand today? So, you know, at the top level of our work is working with partners like United Way, other organizations within and around our community, and even nationwide, because the trends are national, right? But we want to take a look at that high level, cut across our community and say, what are those issues? And then we want to drill down. We want to drill down and, you know, work with the right partners, you know, to move the needle on whatever it is. So let's talk just a second about child in the career of a child from cradle to career, that whole spectrum there across, you know, our community, across Georgia, across our country. And I'll bet you it's a global trend, is third grade reading level. Mm-hmm. Right now, believe it or not, in Georgia, only 34, state of Georgia, 10 million people live here. Only 34% of our third graders are on level in reading. That means, you know, 66% are not reading on level. And that number has been increasing over the last several years. And that's a national trend as well.
And what's driving that, do you know?
Yeah, so you have to go all the way back and you start actually digging into from birth to 3 years old, the first 36 months, the first 1,000 days of a child's life, okay? And the difference between a child in poverty and a child, you know, out of a wealthy house, a child in poverty will hear, hang on, 30 million less words in the first 36 months of their life than somebody from a family. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So it's as simple as in those first 36 months. Now it's get much more complex, and I see the folks in the education area both nodding their head. I wish it was, you know, quite that simple, but that is some of the indicators that we are looking at to drive our way back, say, okay, how do we help those, you know, families? How do we put learning back, you know, our reading back in there? Because, you know, the first, they like to say, and I love this quote, you know, the first 36 months, so the first 3 years, they're learning to read. After that, it's reading to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter what job they go into, what part of their life, you know, if they can't read and read really well, it's going to be a struggle for the rest of it.
Yeah, that's an extremely sad trend, actually.
Yes, yeah.
Because I know growing up, one of the biggest things, my mother loves to read, so it was reading to us all the time and then reading with us all the time since birth.
Right. And probably before that, right? You know,
I'm
and I mean, there's studies for that, as you know, as
but
well.
But in her case, it was really kind of interesting because my mother comes from actually a very, they were very lower class. And so, but she was always into reading. But when we went to school, both I have a brother and sister as well, and we were always really bright and read a lot of things. Right. So she used to borrow our books from school to read them because she'd never even knew those books existed.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
So it was kind of an interesting trend that this is a person who read to us our whole lives, but wasn't open and didn't know about the stuff we were reading in basic public school.
Right, right.
So
in our community, our graduation rate has been increasing over the last decade. So that looks good. But then when you go back into the system all the way to this, you go, ooh, boy, and we've got to do that work early, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all trying to roll up our sleeves and dig into that.
So if I wanted to open a fund at the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia, how would I do that?
If you'll just put your gold American Express card right here in front of me, you know, Jennifer, we'll be good. We can do that. You know, the great thing is it is so simple to open a fund, you know, with us. Transactionally, it's less than a couple of pages to get it signed up and get it going. So anybody can reach out to me, you know, in our website. It's, you know, cfneg.org. And all my contact information is there and really super easy to get it up and running and get it started.
So in Gwinnett County alone, there are hundreds of not-for-profits.
Thousands. Thousand. They probably knock on your door every day for a donation, you know?
Yeah. So, and, I mean, I sit on a few of them as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. You're doing some great work with the Gwinnett Ballet, that, by the way. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
What
yeah,
you're doing there.
I work with them actually in two other not-for-profits as well. So how exactly do you help these different not-for-profits? And I know there's just so many out there that you can't help every single one of them with the foundation.
I send them over to United Way, you know, ones I can't help.
How do you...
I know they feel that way.
I mean, one question is, how do you choose which ones you're going to help? I mean, there's just so much good things that all these different ones are doing. Yeah.
So first, you know, for me, you know, and I've been an executive director from, you know, Habitat to the American Cancer Society. So I'm an executive director today. So I sit in the same shoes as all my peers do, right? And it comes down to three things, right? If you have the money, it's not Jennifer, an issue of do they have enough inventory of problem, right? No matter what they're working on, that they got plenty of inventory of issues that need to be worked on. So that's not your problem. What it is they need, you know, money, right? Mm-hmm. To do their programming, right? They need education, continuous education, so they can be faster, better, stronger, right? And then they need good people. Because no matter what organization I've ever run in my life, if I have those three pieces of the puzzle, I can make it go, right?
Yeah.
So what does a community foundation do? One, we distribute money, right? We've done $75 million in our lifetime. We did over $4 million last year out into our community. So we'll help provide the money, not all of it, not all you need, but we'll provide you some of it. Second, we a series of education programs. Last week, we did one on fundraising, you know, on how to raise the money. We do one on marketing and how to market and tell their story. We're going to do one on leadership, right? How do I develop my organization and build my organization so we can help them do that? And then finally, it is that connection to people, right? And it can be people from that can give them money, but it's also people like you that can give them thought leadership, right? What you've done for the ballet, where you can sit down and they do incredible work. But do they have a business plan? Do they have an operational business model? And I see you laughing, right? Because that's where you are helping them, right? They do not, you know, ballet is a business behind the scenes.
That's just
right?
A lot of not-for-profits don't realize that, yes, they're doing all this great work, but they are a business and it has to be run like a business.
Right,
exactly. So for your listeners around the world, you know, yes, it is about the money and we got to bring the money, no doubt. But boy, bringing that thought leadership and sitting on a board or doing a volunteer job on a committee, please get engaged, because to solve the issue, the reading issue that we were just talking about for a second, that's a community problem. Yes, it is a family that's got to do it. But if they are surrounded by a community that says that's important and then supports them with books and libraries and all the other pieces, we can turn things around.
Well, I'd like to just piggyback on what Randy was saying about nonprofits and about what I'd like to think of about that capacity. Do they, you know, are they running it like a business? How are things actually being structured?
Yes.
That's a big part of what we do as well. A lot of times people will see that United Way, we're a United Way agency. We have long lists of those partners. Well, we also, part of how they become one of our partners that way is that we actually get a chance to go out, for example, and visit them. Mm-hmm. We do site visits. We really go through the rigor of assessing where are they in terms of their organization. their plan, the structure of their program? Is it evidence-based? So that we, when we talk about them as being our partners, those who are supporting and working with us can have some assurance that, okay, I haven't done the kind of the back check, if you will, but United Way is doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, we're kind of a unique agency for Sterling Rose because we don't just do for-profit organizations. Mm-hmm. We actually do strategic plans for not-for-profit. So we do the financials for the not-for-profits mm-hmm. as well. So it's kind of a different structure to our business. And that was one thing that I was brought into the company because, and one thing I require of my staff when they come on, all of my management staff is required to be a part of not-for-profit organizations. It's a requirement of being part of my company.
That's excellent.
So it's a little bit different structure to my business than a lot of other companies. So it's not just that I give back, and I do give back to a lot mm-hmm. of different organizations, mm-hmm. and I sit on my own set of boards, but my staff has to do that too, to be engaged in the community outreach programs. Whatever's dearest to their heart, I don't choose for them, but I make sure that they're part of it because I want them to give back.
That's great.
So a little bit.
And let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you see, as a business, you know, owner mm-hmm. and a CEO, do you see value in that investment back to your own organization?
Yes, I do. I don't do it for selfish reasons.
Right.
Actually, there's a number of programs we're a part of that people aren't even realize that we're a part of. we don't do it for publicity.
Right.
So that's not our reason for doing it. For us, it gives us a sense of pride within the organization. It actually gives my staff a sense of pride in my company and in each other.
Yep.
And just the fact of giving back actually is just boosts all of the morale within my own organization.
Right.
That then relays out to the public that we love what we do.
Right.
And that brings us clients on that standpoint. So it's a win-win for us. It's something we enjoy doing too.
Yep.
And it's something it's dear to my heart to do. Yep. So.
Yep. And then we're talking, I'll take a little left turn on you for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, because not only do we work with individual fund holders, but a big part of our portfolio is businesses can set up their foundation underneath a community foundation.
You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, as crazy as it sounds. Look at Mike. He's like, what? What's that all about? What's going on? You know, with that. And when they set up community foundations, they gave us the ability under our IRS regulations to create, you know, corporations can use our 501c3 to take donations into their foundation. So we do all the back office work. So, you know, the Atlanta Gladiators, the hockey team. We host their foundation. You know, Jim Hall and all the guys, they just take a portion of their, you know, proceeds, put it into their foundation, and then give it away to the community. And Jim doesn't have to worry about any of the back office stuff, right?
Nice.
He just gets to focus on the community. No attorneys, doesn't have to do the annual, you know, audit, doesn't have to do the tax return, doesn't have to do any of that. So we host a number of corporations, you know, small, medium-sized business folks. You know, I'm never going to knock off the Coca-Cola founders. Unless you guys are listening, you can call me. I'll set you up. But small, medium-sized businesses that have a philanthropic heart like you, you know, set up their foundations and then, you know, run everything through us. And that allows them to concentrate on what they do. And some of it, you know, the business owner makes the decision, but many of them engage their employees to make mm-hmm. the decisions on what they, you know, invest and support in, and some even bring in their customers, you know, to help in that conversation.
Yeah, and in my case, as I said, I don't tell them what they should be a part of. It needs to be dear to your heart if you're going to be that involved in something.
It's all about the passion.
Exactly. Yep. So I make sure they choose what they are passionate about, and I chose what I was passionate about, so I would want to stick them in my stuff, and some of them really would enjoy it.
Yeah. And Mike, if I remember, you were about, you know, you were into pets and dogs and started a nonprofit down there.
I did. Where were you years ago? I could have used you. the Georgia SPCA, which is still doing very well on Buford Highway there in Suwanee.
Yep. No, they do some, you know, amazing work. Again, to Denise's point, it's what you're passionate about and can be everywhere from the arts and ballet to, you know, animals.
And so, I'm all over the place. So I sit on Kids Video Connection, the not-for-profit that deals with social media and media entertainment and understanding and being safe around social media and media for children from ages of 4 to 18.
That's important.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
So we teach them about advertising and trends, but we also teach them about how to stay away from predators and also what not to post so they can get into college and get a job.
Protect their futures.
Exactly. Because, you know, it gets a little bit crazy out there on the social media side. And yes, I'm with the Gwinnett Ballet.
I didn't know we were talking politics, but, you know. No, I'm sorry.
And I also am with other not-for-profits as well. Why don't we get a little bit back, though, on... You guys, obviously, you've worked together on different things. How exactly, Denise, how exactly does United Way work with Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia?
Well, at a general level, it starts with, and I think Randy touched on this a little bit, it's about first identifying where's our common focus and priorities. So, for example, right now, a couple areas of focus and priorities is homelessness, food insufficiency, third grade reading levels. Those are all priorities that have come out of our community assessment process and as well as Randy on their side, their process. Then what we do is we reach out to other partners. So for example, Coalition for Health and Human Services, which, you know, brings together a lot of the agencies, for example, in this local community, we reach out and they help us to identify, well, who are the agencies or the other people that are already working in these areas. We don't just take off and say, oh, let's go do something. We start with understanding what's already in place. Then when we can connect with those partners, then we can understand, okay, where can we help, support, enhance, or is there a gap that we can work on together? And then we bring together the resources, the people, maybe the best practices, mm-hmm. the agencies to bring it all together.
And Randy, you earlier said that your motto or tagline is connecting people that care with causes that matter. Can you share a couple of stories about what that actually means?
Oh, yeah, sure can. Here is my favorite story. And Mike, you're going to like this because this is a dog story. We have a fund holder. She's Kathy and Ed have been with us, gosh, I think almost 20 years as fund holders. Animals are very important to Kathy. Kathy and Ed are over 80 years old. And every few years, she likes to buy a canine, a security dog for one of our police departments. So this past year, she said, Randy, I'm not as, you know, closely connected as I used to be. Can you help me out with that? And it just so happened through Leadership Gwinnett that our police chief was going through Leadership Gwinnett, and he was in my study group. So I reached out to our police chief and I said, hey, I've got this fund holder interested in this. He said, not a problem. Connected me to our canine unit, which is about 20 dogs in our police department here. And they just happened to be retiring one this past year. So we went out, we took a visit. They actually invited Kathy out. They get all the canines together once a month for training. So they got her to come out for some and watch that. One of the things was they were showing how the dogs can find drugs in cars and parking lots. And so they had, yeah, Jennifer, you laugh. And they had placed, you know, some drugs. I'm just glad it didn't go to my car, right? You
exactly. know, so. Like, I wouldn't need that.
wouldn't need that. But we did that work because canines are $15,000 to $20,000 each. They typically come from Norway or Scandinavia. It takes here in our county to actually make a donation to our county. You have to go to the county commissioners. Mm-hmm. It took us 3 months to get on their calendar so we could go in front of them and ask them if we could give a donation. At the same time, our police department started to make a decision on what dog, and her name is Elsa. And Elsa is about a year and a half old. We started to see her pictures of her when she was still in Scandinavia, and then we made the donation, and it all came together, and Elsa came to the country and into our county in early December. And Kathy got to meet her for the first time. So full circle, right? And yeah. We think about how many police officers this past year in our country. And I'm sorry, I start to get a little emotional. But the most ever, right, lost yeah. for a long time. And this is where dogs can help, right, yeah. and be put into play. So the timing of her donation and her heart. And so it's fun to just roll up your sleeves and go and work with one single fund holder about what they want to do. And then we expand that work to some that are just, boy, they're all about food insufficiency and they want to help. How do we get more food? And not one family could solve that, but three or four or five families working together can really push the needle. And that gets to be some of the other exciting work I get to do.
Nice. So what is the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia working on today?
At the highest level, it's exactly what Denise alluded to, because we wanted to work side by side with some of the top agencies across our community and Metro Atlanta community. And so we're looking at education, and especially the early learning and all of that. We're looking at the basic needs, right? You know, because for them to be learning, they better have a safe home and they better have the food, right? Mm-hmm. So we're rolling up our sleeves and taking a look at, you know, okay, how do we push more food into the system? And actually, how can the school system help us with that? You know, food in backpacks when kids leave on a Friday afternoon and stuff like that. So we're doing that. Amount of work. We're looking at healthcare, and in particular our clinics.
Okay.
We all know that insurance and how insurance is done in our country, a real challenge, and some folks are being left out, you know, in that challenge.
And when you say clinics, are you talking like clinic or urgent care style clinic?
Our clinics actually go pretty far into the spectrum. So not only the urgent care, but they are much more holistic about taking care of the house. Okay. So we've got an amazing system, but it's not big enough or large enough. Because the other thing that we have in all of our region, Metro Atlanta, is an ever-growing population.
Yeah.
Just in our county, but it is 900,000 people today. The Atlanta Regional Commission projects us to be 1.4 million in less than 20 years. We'll be 50% larger than we are today. And our issues are just going to scale. Mm-hmm. And how do we get ready for that? And then the final piece, we do like to look at arts and culture, because mm-hmm. you want that nice, rounded life that we have. We all enjoy our park system. We all enjoy a good play in that. And we want to support that into the work as well.
Fantastic. And I want to open this up to both Rachel and Denise. I mean, what are the key initiatives the United Way of Greater Atlanta are focused on now?
Kids Home Initiative is something that we're doing across the Greater Atlanta area that really speaks to homelessness. And the thing we really are excited about it is that it really connects together and realizes that families are homeless. We focus on the schools working with students. And when we connect through students, again, starting with the child, we're able to see what are the barriers that those homeless children have in terms of being able to do well in school. But also we're able to engage their parents, their caretakers, and whether it's needing access to connect with a job or transportation, something to help them get more financially stable, or sometimes so many of those are working, but mm-hmm. they can't access affordable housing. So we can help them connect them with resources to be able to do that. So Kids Home Initiative would be an example of how all of those things come together, both on the side of the services that are needed, but also the child within the family in the context of community.
Something else?
Rachel, speechless on that one, man. I mean, you know, boom, drop the mic, you know?
I wanted to just really quickly ask Rachel, if she could just talk a little bit about is going back to bringing it down to the individuals that may be listening, whether it's worldwide or here locally in Gwinnett County, about how can local businesses, so many of your listeners, how can they get involved and support mm-hmm. the work that we're talking about?
Well, thanks, Denise. And we have a lot of great business partners right now. Quick Trip Kitchens, Warehouse, Gas, Publix, Primerica, West Rock, a lot of these great partners. But anyone that wants to support the United Way, we have a really great volunteerism department. So if you have a business and you want to get your employees engaged in some team building exercises, you can actually have a team that comes out. All you basically have to do is show up. And our team brings everything, sets it up. There's like 15 different things we have that they can get engaged in. You can make sandwiches for homeless veterans. You can make snack packs that are non-perishable food items to take into the schools. So there's a lot of different opportunities in that way. If businesses need to have like new businesses, especially if you want to have more of a presence in the community, United Way of Greater Atlanta, we have different events throughout the year. So event sponsorships might be something that you might be interested in. We have a lot of those, like I said, and also we need funding. So one of the big things that we focus on for the United Way of Greater Atlanta is our impact fund. So with those dollars, we really get to hone in on Denise and Randy did share. We have an advisory board. We have a campaign cabinet. We have these leaders who are volunteers in the community, specifically to like Gwinnett County. We have Dan King, Pat McDonough. These are really key leaders in our community that they look at these different organizations that apply for funding. So the more funding that we get to direct our resources and make a larger impact in our community that way.
Well, if they want to get involved in all these and volunteer their time, how would they reach you guys?
Well, one easy way to do it is for locally Gwinnett. You can send us an email at gwinnett@unitedwayatlanta.org. Or to get just more broader information about United Way of Greater Atlanta, you can go to our website, unitedwayatlanta.org.
Great. And if our listeners have any questions or want to learn more about Community Foundation in Northeast Georgia, how did they get in touch with someone from the foundation?
They called Jennifer. Because Jennifer will refer them right up. No, the easiest way, Jennifer, is straight to our website. So that's www.cfneg.org. And again, cfneg.org. And all my contact info is right there.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Also, big thanks to Randy and Denise and Rachel for joining us as well. This has been Strategic Insights Radio, discussing how you can get more involved in your community and all about the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia and all about the United Way. Again, as you just heard, for more information about the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia, you can contact Randy Redner, the executive director. The main number is 770-813-3380. The website, as he said, cfneg.org. And Rachel and Denise, if you'd like to reach them at the United Way, the website, as they said, unitedwayatlanta.org. Is there a phone number you'd like to share as well?
Well, we're actually neighbors to Randy. We're in the same office. Oh. So you call Randy, you can get us. If you call us, you can get Randy.
Okay, you can get them all there.
And I'll say that phone number is 770-527-8805.
And okay. I'll do one more plug for 211, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. As Rachel said earlier, 211, that's your connection to your local community's resources, whether you want to contribute to those resources or find some to help you or someone that you know.
And I hate to admit, I used to think that I'm well-versed, and I was not aware of that number before until today.
211.
Awesome. 211, that's good to know.
That's why we do these things. Thank you, Jennifer.
For more information about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, you can contact them at 470-202-8659 or visit their website, sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com. Until next time, this has been Strategic Insights Radio on Business Radio X.